Music Doodoo Classical Bedtime presents Ludwig van Beethoven and the Piano Without Legs. Step carefully. Your foot almost lands on a mountain of crumpled paper. Over there, sticky plates with dried out cheese. A coat thrown over a chair. Candle wax dripped onto everything. And in the middle of this dusty chaos, a piano. But wait. Look closer. It has no legs. The piano crouches directly on the wooden floor, heavy and strange. And lying beside it, cheek pressed flat against the floorboards, is a man with wild grey hair exploding in every direction. His eyes are closed. His hand reaches up to strike the keys. And when he does, he feels a humming in his teeth, a buzzing in his jaw, a shivering that travels from the wood through his cheekbone into his skull. He cannot hear a single note, not one. But oh, he can feel the music. Who was this strange man with the messy room and the legless piano? His name was Ludwig van Beethoven. And here's the thing, he didn't start his life unable to hear. No, no. When Ludwig was young, he could hear everything. The chirp of sparrows outside his window, the clatter of wooden wheels on cobblestones, the way his mother hummed while she braided his sister's hair. The story of how the sounds slowly, cruelly disappeared. And what Beethoven did about it, that's why we're here tonight. Ludwig was born in 1770 in a German city called Bonn. The wide Rhine River flowed nearby. Church bells rang from crooked steeples. Merchants called out prices in the cobblestone squares. His grandfather had been a musician. His father was a musician too, a singer with a voice like a booming bell, but a heart that was often cold. When little Ludwig's tiny fingers started finding melodies on the keyboard at age 4, his father didn't see a son to love. He saw a golden ticket, a way to become rich and famous. The lessons began, harsh lessons. Ludwig's father would drag him out of bed in the middle of the night to practice. Hours and hours, while tears ran down the little boy's cheeks. Every wrong note meant a slap. Every mistake meant shouting. But here's what Ludwig's father didn't understand. You can force a child to sit at a piano. You can shout and punish and demand. But you cannot force what Ludwig had inside him. That came from somewhere deeper, somewhere mysterious. And Ludwig had it. By age 12, he was publishing his own compositions. By 14, he was the assistant organist at the court chapel, the very same chapel where his father sang. The student was becoming the master. And the music that poured out of him? It wasn't gentle. It wasn't polite. It was like a wild animal that had been caged for too long.
When Ludwig was 21, he moved to Vienna, the centre of the musical universe.
Vienna was buzzing with music. Every wealthy family had a piano. Every evening brought concerts in glittering ballrooms. Composers from all over Europe came hoping to be noticed. And Beethoven? He didn't just get noticed. He exploded. His piano playing was unlike anything people had experienced. Most pianists sat up straight, faces calm, fingers dancing politely. Beethoven wrestled with the piano. He pounced on the keys like a lion catching prey. He hummed and growled along with the notes. His hair, already wild and tangled, looked like a thundercloud caught in a hurricane. And the sounds! Whisper soft one moment, then crashing, so loud the piano strings sometimes snapped. People gasped. Women clutched their fans. Nobody had ever heard anything like it.
This contrast between soft and loud. Musicians have a special word for it. Dynamics. Think of piano as a whisper under the covers and forte as a shout across a playground. Beethoven used dynamics like a magician uses surprises. Just when you thought the music was tiptoeing away, bam, he'd hit you with something huge. Listen to this, the most famous four notes ever written. Beethoven called it the sound of fate knocking at the door. Invisible force that changes everything, whether you want it to or not. Beethoven knew about fate, because fate was about to knock on his door and change his life forever. It started with a buzzing in his ears. Just an annoying hum, like a mosquito that wouldn't leave. Then certain sounds became muffled, as if someone had stuffed cotton in his ears. High notes disappeared first. Then conversations became hard to follow. At first, Beethoven told no one. He was terrified. A musician who couldn't hear? It was unthinkable. His whole life was built on sound. But it got worse. Year by year, the world grew quieter. He had to press his ear against the piano to hear the notes. The birds outside his window? Silence. The applause after his concerts? Fading to nothing. Fate had knocked at his door, and it wasn't bringing good news. Beethoven was 31. He was so full of despair that he wrote a letter. A letter he never sent. A letter meant only for his brothers to read after he died. In it, he confessed his terrible secret. He wrote about the loneliness, how he wanted to be around people but couldn't bear the shame of asking, "What? What did you say?" over and over. He even thought about giving up everything. But then, in that same letter, something shifted. He wrote these words, "I will seize fate by the throat. It shall not overcome me." Remember those four famous notes? Fate knocking? Beethoven decided he would answer that knock. He would fight. And this brings us back to that strange room. The messy room with the piano without legs. Beethoven had discovered something remarkable. Even though his ears had failed him, his body could still feel vibrations. You know that deep boom you feel in your chest when thunder rumbles? Or the way the floor trembles when a big truck drives past? That is vibration. Sound waves travelling through solid things. So Beethoven grabbed a saw. He cut the legs right off his piano. He put it flat on the wooden floor. And when he played, the vibrations travelled through the floorboards, through his jaw, through his teeth. The low notes made his whole chest hum. The high notes tickled behind his ears. He couldn't hear the music anymore, but he could feel it buzzing through his bones. His body had become his ears. There was one place where Beethoven found peace, the countryside. Every summer, he would escape Vienna's crowded streets and walk for hours through forests and meadows. He would stride along the banks of babbling brooks. He would climb hills and stand under enormous skies. Even as his hearing faded, he could still feel the wind on his face. He could smell the wildflowers. He could watch sunlight filter through swaying leaves. And in his imagination, in that music-making part of his mind that never stopped working, he heard everything. The birdsong, the rustling trees, the rumble of an approaching storm. This is from Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, also called the Pastoral Symphony. Pastoral means having to do with the countryside. Now here's something magical. This music is what we call program music. That means it paints pictures without using any words at all. Each movement has a title that tells you what Beethoven was painting with sound. That one you just heard? He called it Awakening of Cheerful Feelings Upon Arrival in the Countryside. Can you feel it? The happiness of stepping off a dusty road and into a cool green forest. The second movement is called Scene by the Brook. Here, Beethoven paints the sound of water, gently flowing, murmuring over smooth stones, sparkling in dappled sunlight. Listen for the low strings. They ripple and flow over and over, never stopping. That's the brook, always moving. And somewhere in the branches above, listen carefully, can you hear the birds waking up? Did you catch how peaceful that was? The brook just kept flowing and flowing. But then, without warning, the sky darkens. A cold wind whips through the trees. Leaves scatter and spin. Animals rush to their burrows. A storm is coming! And Beethoven is about to paint the wildest thunderstorm you've ever witnessed. Using nothing but an orchestra. We'll be right back. lightning flashing, thunder crashing, rain hammering down. No words, no pictures, just music. And yet you could see it all in your mind, couldn't you? That is the magic of program music. And that is the genius of a man who couldn't hear a single raindrop fall, but could make you feel the storm shaking the earth.
And after every storm comes peace. Listen to how the music changes. The clouds part, the sun breaks through. Farmers emerge from their cottages, looking up at the clearing sky with grateful hearts. Beethoven called this movement Thankful Feelings After the Storm. Maybe Beethoven's whole life felt like a storm. The cruel father, the failing ears, the terrible loneliness. But he always found his way back to the sun.
Now I want to tell you about the most incredible night in all of Beethoven's life. The year was 1824. Beethoven was 53 years old. His hair was completely grey, and he was completely deaf. He couldn't hear anything at all. Not his piano, not people talking, not even a cannon firing right beside him. And yet, he had just finished his 9th symphony. A symphony unlike any before it. For the first time in history, a symphony would include singers. A full choir plus 4 soloists, all joining the orchestra. And they would sing words. A poem about how all human beings, no matter where they come from, are brothers and sisters. The premiere was in Vienna, in a great concert hall packed tight with people. Everyone knew Beethoven was deaf. Everyone wondered if this might be his final masterpiece. Beethoven stood on stage, facing the orchestra, trying to help conduct. But the real conductor stood behind him, keeping the musicians together, because Beethoven couldn't hear if they played a wrong note. The music began. Mysterious whispers from the strings. Fragments of melody, like pieces of a dream trying to come together. And then, a tune. The tune. Simple. Hopeful. Rising like the first light of morning after a long, dark night. The melody that the whole world now knows as the Ode to Joy. Thank you. The audience was completely transported. Some wept openly. Some held their breath, afraid to miss a single note. And when the symphony ended, when the last massive chord faded into silence, the crowd erupted. They cheered, they stamped their feet, they threw their hats and handkerchiefs into the air. But Beethoven didn't turn around. He just stood there, facing the orchestra, his back to the audience. He couldn't hear them. The thunderous applause, the shouting, the weeping. To him, there was only silence. One of the singers walked over. Gently, she took Beethoven by the shoulders, and she turned him around. When he saw the crowd, standing, weeping, hands waving, hats flying through the candlelight, his eyes filled with tears. He bowed, again and again, and the applause went on and on and on. Beethoven died 3 years later, in 1827. He was 56 years old. On the day of his funeral, 20,000 people filled the streets of Vienna. Schools closed, shops closed. The entire city stopped to say goodbye to the man who had given them so much beauty, even when he himself lived in silence. And here's what I hope you'll remember tonight as you drift towards sleep. Beethoven could have given up. When fate knocked at his door and took away his hearing, he could have walked away from music forever. No one would have blamed him. But he didn't. He seized fate by the throat. He sawed the legs off his piano. He felt the vibrations humming through his bones. He composed his greatest works in complete and total silence. Because the music was never really in his ears. It was in his heart, in his imagination, in that place inside all of us where beautiful things are born. So the next time something feels impossibly hard, maybe there's a problem that seems too big, or something you love suddenly becomes difficult, remember the man with the piano without legs. Remember that sometimes, when one door closes, you don't sit down and cry. You build a new door. You find another way. Good night, and may your dreams be full of music.